Hi,
Blog
it's
Talk
Jessica
Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Hi, it's Jessica Aaron-Orth, and welcome to Unleash Your Extraordinary Potential. The truth is that we are all born with extraordinary potential to do anything we set our minds to and be anyone we desire to be. The problem is that we create self-imposed limitations. All of the great leaders and change makers and rule breakers started with a dream, a vision. Extraordinary potential is often invisible. But we all possess it. We all have the power to shift from potential to reality with a dream and a vision. Don't you owe it to yourself, to your family, to your community, and to the world you live in to unleash your extraordinary potential today?
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire. Hi, I am thrilled to have Lily Gardner join me in the studio today. Lily is no stranger to unleashing her own extraordinary potential. She is a consultant with the FBI, a spokesperson for a movement working to safeguard liberty and improve health and well-being, and a winner of the Dr. Martin Luther King Youth Leadership Award. Lily brings depth and passion to not only leading communities through positive change, but through taking the action steps needed to be that change maker. On today's show, Lily's going to share with us her story, the highs and the lows that come with changing the world, as well as some tips that have helped her get to where she is today. Hi, Lily. Welcome.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
I know we were talking a bit before, and it's raining and windy where you are.
Yeah.
On the flip side, it's sunny where I am, so which is unusual for us. So Lily, tell us a little bit about, you have done some really impressive things. Consultant with the FBI, spokesperson for the movement Safeguarding Liberty and Improving Health and Well-Being. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, that being a consultant with the FBI is part of being the spokesperson for the social movement. It's an FBI social movement, and so I was chosen about 5 years ago to be the leader of that movement. But up until a couple months ago, we were just studying and trying to get a hold on what we should do about all the various problems that we're concerned about. But I had been studying in graduate school in sociology about problems in the world, patterns that affect individuals' behavior and how that plays out in societal terms. And so I started out just when I was young. I was very spunky and very outgoing, and I would often recognize problems around me. And most people I've noticed don't observe what's going on around them to a very, they are more focused on what's going on in their own life and not focused on what's happening. And so when I was young, I was always trying to figure out ways to solve problems. And so when I went on a mission as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, I recognized that there was a major problem in the mission, because there were three attempted suicides and there were a lot of people that were suicidal. And so I started kind of investigating and found out that the problem was how the mission president was treating the female missionaries. And so I stood up to him as strongly as I could, but I was really kind of, the power struggle. The power difference was very big between me and him. And so he was not allowing the female missionaries to go to the doctor or to go home if they asked to go home. And if they asked to go to the doctor, then he would have them put on depression medication. And so I got out of the situation as quickly as I could to tell the leaders of the church about what was going on. So when I came home, I wrote a letter to the leaders of the church. I had gone through so much abuse. Like, the FBI found out later in an investigation that he could have been tried for attempted murder because of how strong the abuse was, because he was having people put on extreme dosages of Prozac, and the only way out seemed to be suicide, and it was just a really scary situation. And so I was really traumatized by that, and I had a lot of physical and emotional difficulties moving forward from that. So I had to figure out how to go through life and overcome those. So I started learning from the alternative health field and trying different modalities. And I didn't want to quit school when I came home, because I didn't know what else to do. I just felt like I needed to keep trying. And one time I was sitting with a friend who had cancer, and we were talking about our health problems, and they were pretty much the same. And she died 4 months later, and I started doing a little better 4 months later. So it was, I would go to a door to open the door, and I wouldn't have the strength to open the front doors of the buildings because I was so physically weak. And I had a hard time remembering things, and it was just an uphill battle like crazy because of how much I had been through. But I knew that doctors weren't going to prescribe away my illness that came from the experience that I had. And so I just kept working through it, and over time I started getting better and just started to realize what was going on. I learned that I had, that if I could manage my stress level, that I could think much better than if I wasn't managing my stress level. So that made a really big difference in my health. And then I went on to graduate school in sociology. And after graduate school, I had a dream one night that I was fighting against monsters as part of an army. And I recognized a friend in the dream that I hadn't seen for many years, but I decided to get a job working with him to get kids out of gangs for the school district. And so then as I was doing that, I started having dreams and visions that gave me insight into the lives of the students. So, for example, one time I was with a certain student and his family, and I saw a vision of this student raping a girl. So I told my partner about the vision, and my partner asked if I had heard that the student had rape charges against him, and I said no, and he was really surprised. He said, well, we hadn't believed the rape charges, but if you saw it like that, then it must have happened. So it started giving us a lot of insight through my dreams and visions, and then I also saw a vision of a student who was addicted to drugs turn into a werewolf and eating her boyfriend. So I told her boyfriend about the vision, and I told him that if I were him, I would date someone who wasn't into drugs. I just told him what I saw, and I told him that, you know, I know this is really strange, but I'm just telling you what I saw. And so the FBI heard about my dreams and visions, and they did a background check on me and were interested in getting to know me better. So they put up a camera at my work, and the day they put up a camera, I had a vision that I was on camera and that the FBI was watching me. So I started talking to my partner about things I wanted the FBI to know, particularly about the dream that I had that I was fighting as part of an army. And so the FBI knew that I knew they were watching me, and that day I started a secret relationship with the FBI. So that was a little more than 5 years ago. And then back wow. in March of this year, I had a dream that led me to a book about the groups that are working to overthrow the governments of the world. Former FBI agent W. Cleance Galzin was at the forefront of writing books about these groups. And so he wrote books called The Naked Communist and The Naked Capitalist, but he has since passed away. And so I learned about these groups in lectures from one of his colleagues and found out that they're planning a nuclear war on American soil to depopulate sometime in the future. And so we set to work trying to decide what on earth could change the direction of the way that things are going. And we decided that learning about miracles or synchronicities would be the best way to go, and learning to increase faith and love and transformational principles such as managing emotion and mindset. So I had signed up for a program to learn about increasing miracles and synchronicities from Marcy Shimoff and Deborah Poneman. Mm-hmm. And back in August, we decided I should sign up for more programs to learn about transformational principles. And transformational principles means, transformation means to change something from one state to another. And so a lot of them are about accomplishing dreams and goals and stuff like that. So I signed up for three more programs in August, and I felt like it just seemed a lot like learning how to make lightning. And so just because it's so powerful to learn those principles of how to change yourself and your emotions and your mindset in order to bring about changes in your whole life. And so when I was thinking that it was a lot like lightning, that night there was a thunderstorm, and a lightning bolt woke me up, and then that bolt was followed by three other lightning bolts in succession, and I was in four transformational programs. So I felt like it was a sign saying that it is very similar to, like, those transformational programs were teaching me something like making lightning. Something about, you know, just real having a lot of power in life. And so that was kind of the moment when I realized that life could become extraordinarily powerful, that it could be more than just going through mundane motions and reacting to what other people do, but being in control of myself and my direction. And
right.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story. I just want to go back a bit when you were speaking about standing up to someone of power.
Okay.
Because I think for a lot of people, that's a very difficult thing to do. For a lot of people, it's very difficult to stand up for yourself, let alone stand up for yourself with someone with power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about how you gained that courage to be able to do that and what that was like for you.
Well, I had a talk with a man who we tried talking to leaders in the area about the situation, and so I talked with a local leader who said that he wanted me to understand what I would be sacrificing if I stood up to him. So we went through and talked about the possibilities of what might happen if I stood up to him, and it helped me to see clearly and to vocalize the possible consequences. And so what the possible consequences were, since I was a student at Brigham Young University, I would likely not be able to return if I stood up to him, because you have to have endorsements from ecclesiastical leaders. And if I stood up to him, then those ecclesiastical endorsements would be taken away. It would be possible for me to be rejected by my family, by my acquaintances, and that I would also, it was possible that I would not be able to have full access to all the privileges of membership in the church, because
right.
It was strong enough that I could have been denied access to certain privileges. And so he said, I admire you for what you're doing, but I want you to know that if you go through with this, and if you lose your privileges in the church and stuff for doing it, that I want you to save your money and come back to Chile, and we'll restore your privileges in the church. That's all I can do for you.
Right.
But he did say, we understand the situation, and we can do something about that. So I want you to know that I've got your back in that arena, but... go ahead.
Sorry, yeah.
Well, I felt like I knew that people's lives were on the line, and so I felt like no matter what I lost, it would be not as important as their lives.
Right.
And so I just weighed everything in the balance and decided, you know, if I can save people's lives out of standing up to this situation, then I'll do it.
And I think that's a really good strategy that you've just mentioned, really doing that pro and con list.
Yeah.
You know, what are the consequences and what are the benefits, so that you can really formulate that in your mind to become clear as to what is important for you and what is not as important for you.
Right.
And I think that's a great strategy for everyone to be aware of and everyone to learn.
Yeah.
And as well as knowing, you know, to the audience out there, that it is very difficult to learn that skill of standing up for yourself. And often we sacrifice a lot of who we are because we are fearful of for lack of a better term, unleashing our extraordinary potential. And when we're able to find out who we really are and what we stand for, it becomes so powerful to then voice your opinion and give yourself a voice so that you can be seen and be heard and really be the extraordinary person that you are.
Right. Yeah, the FBI, when they were doing their background check on me, read my account of what happened in the mission field, and that was one of the things that stood out to them about me, was that I had, as a young person, stood up to that situation and at least stopped it so that no one died. It wasn't optimal. I wish that it would have gone better, but no one died. So overall it was successful.
And that's probably where you have to give yourself a little break, because you did something that was very challenging and difficult, and you made a difference in a lot of people's lives. So you should, commend yourself on that. It might not have gone perfectly, but it went. And it went well.
Yeah.
So how do you want to lead and change the world?
Well, I want to warn people about the changes that are necessary, and then propose solutions. I believe that change will need to come on an individual level, one by one, and I want to teach people to be powerful change agents by connecting with their higher power, connecting with their purpose in life, connecting with and releasing emotions, and by managing their mindset. So I plan on becoming a certified emotion code practitioner and body code practitioner. Have you heard of Dr. Bradley Nelson?
No, I haven't.
He's a chiropractor who came up with a process to release trapped emotions and physical imbalances in the body.
Yeah.
And that's one of the methods that I think is probably the simplest that I've heard of, and so I want to be able to make a difference in that way, being a practitioner of that. I was talking to a veteran not too long ago of the Gulf War, and he was explaining how a lot of the other vets came back with major health problems and nervous system issues and trouble sleeping, and they wake up and they're just sweating, and he just described a lot of symptoms and said, no one is really helping us. And I think that there are a lot of people who are in kind of a similar situation where they don't know where to turn. And the FBI feels that the mental health field isn't doing particularly well, because they prescribe a lot of medications that make people suicidal, homicidal, and psychotic. And there are books that show that the mental health field is fueling a mental health epidemic by making the cures worse than the original problems. And so I feel like it's important to use alternative methods, and so I want to be part of that solution.
Well, that sounds great. Yeah, mental health is a field I know very well, and like any field, it has its pluses and its minuses. And really, the more tools any practitioner has in their toolbox, the better it is, because what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person. And I personally believe that individualized treatment is the only way to make a difference and to help someone through the emotional turmoil that impacts their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So good for you. That sounds really interesting. The work of Bradley Nelson sounds really interesting too. It kind of reminds me of the work of I believe it's psychosensorimotor body work, which integrates the emotional healing with the body, because our body and mind play such a huge connection with one another. Our thoughts really fuel the health of our body, and the health of our body really fuels the health of our mind and our brain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fascinating to me. So what excites you and gives you purpose and motivation? You've touched on it a little bit, but I'll kind of ask the question in a different way. Often we say that, you know, really in order to change the world and in order to change yourself, you have to have your why, your reason, your purpose, your motivation, because often as change makers, we take on this huge task, which can be quite an exciting task, but quite a daunting task as well. So how do you get over those quote-unquote daunting hurdles, and what excites you and gives you your own purpose and motivation?
I think that the one thing that gives me the most motivation when I'm feeling overwhelmed is the movie Amazing Grace about the abolition of the slave trade.
Okay.
It's about William Wilberforce, who was a man in Parliament who pretty much stood alone in his opinion of the problems with the slave trade. And over a 40-year period, he was able to get the whole nation, well, not the whole nation, but a large portion of the nation and a large portion of Parliament to pass a law that would make it so that the slave trade was abolished, not just in England, but it put the ships that were running the slaves out of business. And so he was really influential in that movement. And I actually was introduced to that film one day when I was in graduate school, and I was praying and just saying, this is useless. Why am I bothering to work so hard with so many health problems and so many challenges? And I just felt like, and I told God in prayer, no one individual ever changes the world. And so why would I bother to try so hard? I just wanted to quit. And so right at that moment, one of my friends came over and said, hey, come watch a movie with me. And so I went and watched that movie, and he did change the world for the slaves.
Right.
And so it was a really strong answer to me that one individual can make a difference, and that later, I actually had a dream about that movie on my 34th birthday. And in the movie, William Wilberforce says, I was born for this job. And so having a dream about it on my birthday was really significant to me.
Wow.
That I was born for something, and I need to step into it.
Right. Yeah, and that's such a powerful statement. And I think we can wrap that around. We are all born for something.
Yes.
And we all have a purpose. And it's a lot of the time it's finding that purpose and finding that thing that resonates with you.
Uh-huh.
And really stepping into that power, because we're all here for a reason.
Right. I actually discovered a way to write a life purpose statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I read twice in a 24-hour period that successful people often have life purpose statements, and they know what they're here for, and they just go for it. And so I was working on following the formula that Jack Canfield has, and I figured out a way to improve on it. There's a book called The Strengths Finder 2.
Yeah.
That is, have you heard of that book?
I have. I have that one on my bookshelf, actually. I love
right.
reading. I love books.
Okay. So The Strengths Finder 2 is the result of 40 years worth of research about strengths. And so what I did was I had that book in my possession, and I had Jack Canfield's formula. And Jack Canfield's formula says pick two of your personal strengths that make you unique, and then list one or two ways you enjoy expressing those qualities when interacting with others, such as to teach, support, inspire, or to transform. Then you write down your vision of a perfect world in the present tense. So what does this perfect world look like? How is everyone interacting with each other, and what does it feel like? So, for example, I took the Strengths Finder test, and two of my top five strengths are understanding the underlying structure of social problems and my ability to lift others by sharing my beliefs. So I had a dream once that I was speaking face-to-face with God as he sat on his throne, and I've had many spiritual experiences, and I have a strong spiritual background. But before I took the Strengths Finder 2 test, I would not have considered my special connection with God one of my top two greatest strengths. But that test helped me realize that that's really important, and an important asset that I have. My other strength is the ability to see the underlying structure of social problems comes from years of study as a sociologist. So for me, a perfect world is a world where people are healthy, happy, and free, free from oppression, free from addiction, and free through the knowledge of the truth. So I plugged my response into the formula. The formula, to recap, is choose two of your top strengths. Second, choose how you like to use those strengths. And third, your vision of a perfect world. So my purpose is to share my special witness of God and my understanding of the underlying structure of social problems to inspire and transform the people of the world so that they may be healthy, happy, and free.
Wow.
And I really love that formula, Jack Canfield's formula, because if everyone were to envision their perfect world and then work toward it, the world would be a lot better than it is.
I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think sometimes people's worlds are in chaos and not better, whether we're talking about the we're talking about our own personal world, because people can't envision how they want their world to be.
Right, yeah.
I know often when I talk to people, it's much easier for people to be able to tell me what they don't want and what they don't like. But trying to answer the question, what do you want? What does your perfect life look like? If you lived in an imaginary world where anything is possible, what would you like your life to look like? And I find that people have a really hard time relating the concept of my life can be anything and this is what I want it to be. It's much easier to formulate it in the negative.
Right.
But unless you can see what it looks like, it's very hard to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great strategy and great tip.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know their strengths. And so the Strengths Finder is a really good tool to know your strengths and then to be able to zero in on those, to put them into a formula to say, this is how I can change the world.
Yeah. So if you haven't already gotten the Strengths Finder, we'll plug that Strengths Finder book right now. I actually love plugging books. I love reading and I love gaining the knowledge and sharing that with people. That is a great book.
It's important to buy a new copy because you can only access the test through a new copy of the book.
Yes, that is very true. Very true. There is a computerized test that you can access when you buy the book. They give you your own code so you can go on and do the computerized test, and then you get a very detailed document on your strengths.
Yeah.
If you have any questions for Lily Gardner, feel free to call us and ask away. Lily, two favorite books. One fiction and one self-help. Let's go with that. I think a lot of the time we probably don't read enough fiction. We, especially as leaders and change makers and risk takers, people tend to hunker down and read a lot of nonfiction, and I think sometimes it's good to explore different worlds.
I like the book Atlas Shrugged. It's by Ayn Rand.
And yeah.
And I just think that it explains well in a way that fiction can do better than anything else, how things are heading how things will turn out if we don't stand up to what's going on in the world.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't read that one. I'll have to look at it. So give me, say that again.
Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand.
Yeah. Okay. And it's about how fiction sometimes becomes better than reality, or often becomes better than reality.
No, it's about this group of this person that runs a train station, and she starts realizing that everyone around her is just making really bad decisions, and things keep getting worse and worse, and so she finds a group of people find her who are interested in her because she's not like everyone else who is just going along with the flow and the decadence of society. And so she goes to this little community where they're hiding out and where they have established a paradise because they're basing their lives on principles that will work rather than just going with what someone says because someone in authority made something up that isn't going to work. And so to me, it kind of parallels my life being found by the FBI noticing the problems in our society, and then us trying to work to, except we aren't trying to establish a little community hidden somewhere. We're trying to change the whole direction.
Right. And a self-help book.
Healing Feelings by Carol Truman.
Say that once more.
Healing Feelings from the heart. Healing Feelings from the heart. And I actually spent probably 3 months just reading self-help books, trying to find out what's out there at one point. And so I that one was one of the first that I read, and I still like it more than most of the others that I've read. But it talks about a way to, it has a couple different interesting strategies. One of them is to release emotions by following a certain script. And then another one is to have a heart-to-heart talk with, or I think it's called a spirit-to-spirit talk with someone else. So to imagine that you are talking to someone who doesn't really want to talk to you, or for some reason you can't talk with that person. And then so in the book she mentions an example of a woman whose husband wanted a divorce, and then she had a spirit-to-spirit talk with him every night, just imagining talking to his spirit by calling his name and then lovingly explaining why she didn't want a divorce. And after 2 weeks of doing that, he just said, you know, I don't want a divorce anymore. And so we can reach each other often when our minds are shut off or our hearts are shut off to each other. We can get in through the back door, which is the spirit.
Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, if you have any questions, just our call-in number is 646-716-7979. Once again, 646-716-7979. So Lily, what are the three top things you want to teach people that will help them change their lives?
Let's see. Well, I wanted to share that tip on how to write a life purpose statement, because I think that is a powerful way to go about having direction in your life. Then the other things that have really made a difference in my life are visualization, is learning to visualize and doing it as a daily practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding techniques like the emotion code, or other techniques to release emotion. I'm a strong believer that we need to find ways to release trapped emotions so that we can go forward as strongly and as powerfully as we can, and make an impact in the world for good. And so I recommend getting the book, The Emotion Code, by Dr. Bradley Nelson, and he will be on my show. I'm a host for the Coach on Fire Radio Network. He'll be on my show on November 11th at noon Mountain Standard Time.
Okay, so that's this network, guys. Coach on Fire, we have some great programming going on for you here. Lily, tell us a bit more about your own show.
My show? My show is called The North Star Show, and I chose the name The North Star Show because Frederick Douglass was one of the former slaves who became an abolitionist, and he had a newspaper named the North Star Newspaper, and the North Star used to lead the slaves from the South to the North to freedom. And so I feel like we can have freedom in our health and our lives and in every aspect of ourselves and our society if we follow correct principles. And so the North Star Show will be about trying to lead us to a good place where we can be healthy, happy, and free.
So what would three healthy principles be? I think you named one in, you know, using visualization.
Uh-huh.
How would people use visualization in their lives to help them? Do you have any favorite techniques or exercises?
Well, I for sure have to set an alarm. I set an alarm for about 5 minutes because if I don't set an alarm, then I find myself just sleeping. So I set an alarm. I try to make sure that I think beforehand about what I am wanting to manifest and just picturing something that I really want to happen. I usually imagine the times in my life that people have cheered for me before I start visualizing so that I feel that that energy from the past, and that's what I want in the future, is positive energy going forward. So I try to imagine, I just remember the past experiences that were good, good outcomes that I want to repeat, and then I go into the visualizing and set the alarm clock. That's my main tip with visualizing.
Nice. What do you find are the most important things that you do to keep moving your life forward or your work forward?
I created a video of affirmations set to music and pictures that are really powerful for me. And I watch that twice a day to retrain my brain to think about and focus on the affirmations. And so I would love for the listeners to check out my video, which can be found in the Facebook group called Standing for Liberty Movement. And
yeah. So if they're on Facebook, is there a link on Facebook, or should they just type in Standing for Liberty Movement and they can find it there?
Yeah, just type in Standing for Liberty Movement.
Okay. So everyone, you can find out more about Lily Gardner and what she's doing in the Facebook group, Standing for Liberty Movement.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I also use essential oils and exercise to moderate stress. So
yeah,
I'm a fan of essential oils. I also make sure to sing fairly often because that helps me to manage my emotions and feel empowered by the songs that I sing.
Nice. We had Sarah Lambertson on the show last show, and she was talking about essential oils too. That's something she started using within her own emotional healing. And I love using essential oils as well.
Yeah, they're really a great tool that has been around for a really long time.
Yeah, it's fascinating all the different tools that we have accessible to us, and that we all can learn to use in our daily lives very easily.
Uh-huh.
Any final words of wisdom for our audience? It sounds like you're doing so much in the world. How could our audience change their world and become change makers within their world?
One of my favorite quotes is from Jimi Hendrix. He says, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, then the world will know peace.
Yeah, I like that one.
So as we work within ourselves to become the change that we want to see in the world, then we can radiate out. I want to put in a plug for the movie The Cokeville Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about miracles and, well, that particular miracle, and just that miracles have happened in the past, and I know that they can and will happen in the future if we decide to live our lives in a way that we can have miracles, that we can be ready for those miracles.
So when you're talking about miracles, what does a miracle mean to you?
Well, some of them are more like synchronicities, like coincidences, but some of them are bigger. A miracle is just something that is beyond our own power to produce.
Yeah, and that becomes very powerful to think about, because miracles can show up in your life without... I think miracles happen more often in people's lives than they notice.
Right.
I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think miracles really surround us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to make the decision whether we will notice them and allow them into our lives or not.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that I do to enhance the ability to have miracles in my life is to keep a gratitude journal. I write down 5 things every day that I'm grateful for, and I share with a group every other week miracles that have happened in my life. So I keep track of the miracles that I notice, so that as I focus on miracles, that brings about it just increases the likelihood that I'll notice more and be given more.
Right. And I do that as well. I talk about gratitude journals a lot as well, and have my clients start them and use them. Uh-huh. Because we become accustomed to really thinking negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And for every negative thing, I forget what the stats are, but it's something to the effect of, for every negative thing that happens or that is taken in, it takes approximately 5 or 6 positives to overcome that negative. We somehow latch on to the negative more than the positive. And with the gratitude journal and actually writing things down, it helps us remember, especially when we're latching onto that negative, and we can go back to something that reinforces all the positive that actually takes place and happens within our lives.
Yeah. Another thing I want to mention is the book called The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart.
Yes, that's a good one.
She talks about how we can produce miracles for each other by intending them together and sending out love and light in on behalf of each other. I think that's a really good book that talks about, it's so cool that there's science behind that process.
I agree with that.
Yeah. To me, it reminds me of the 80s cartoon, The Care Bears, and the Care Bears there.
Yeah.
Because the Care Bears would send out their love or their whatever their individual feeling was, and then they would lift and heal or help the individual that they're trying to Care Bear stare. And that's kind of what intention is about.
Right. And I think that's a really great thought. I just want to do a little recap of all the great strategies that have been presented within this show, because there's been quite a bit.
So just to recap today's show, standing up for yourself. Standing up for yourself is so important. Never back down. Know who you are, know what's important to you, and voice it. Life purpose, finding your life purpose, which really, once we have our life purpose, it drives everything we do. Finding your strengths, how you would like to use those strengths, and how you envision your own perfect world. This is a really great tool, because if you can envision your own perfect world, you can actually create it. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. We will see you next time. Bye for now.